We all go to work and we expect to go home that evening. We take responsibility when we go on our roads, when we're driving. We take responsibility for the other person and for yourself. And we definitely feel that that should be in the workplace as well.
When you speak to people who have had loved ones or colleagues die in a workplace or industrial accident, what have been some of the causes of these accidents?
Oh, my goodness, it's huge. It actually ranges from forestry to manufacturing, construction. There's quite a variety. Last year was rather devastating in Victoria, in our Gippsland area. There were 18 deaths, which, I hate to say it, but was probably quite a good fatality rate in a sense that it's been up to the 30 mark, you know. So, but of those 18 last year, 11 were in our Gippsland area. So there's no real answer. It's just there. We sort of wonder now, like with, I hate getting into the politics of anything, but with the new laws, you know, are people going to be even more scared to stand up and say, look, that's unsafe, because they're going to be frightened of losing their jobs? We just have to make it safe out there for all of us, wherever we go into the workplace. And our young ones need to understand that they're our next generation. So we try to sort of advise them, look, you know, talk to your employees, talk to a senior person, and because you need to be able to stand up for yourself, and some people can't, because we're raised to trust your employer, trust your senior person. And if you can't go into a workplace and trust an employer, it's pretty sad.
Following a workplace death, it is often the families who have to fight for justice and compensation on top of dealing with their own grief. 20 years ago, Deanne May's son died in an industrial accident and the family are still recovering.
It never goes away, but you learn to live with it and make a positive of it. Our boy was just absolutely a wonder. And I can say that, he was our son. But we have two other boys who have beautiful families now also. And life does go on, but it changes. It changes in so many ways. And some people are unable to cope with that. And we need to be there to help them there. We have families there with young children that, unfortunately, the shock of a tragedy brings all sorts of trauma and health issues into the family. It triggers situations with young children, with young boys in particular, where they've lost their dad. They're devastated.
Well, following a workplace death, what advice would you give to relatives?
Oh, basically, it's just devastating for them at the time. We just let them know that we're there, that we're people that have experienced it. If they wish to speak with us, it's definitely their choice. We find that over the time that is what they do like to do, because no one seems to understand what is going on. So basically, we sort of advise them that we're there, to give us a call at any time, day or night. We can sort of be available for a chat, whatever might be on their mind. Don't be afraid of their emotions. Let it be, you know, let it out. Speak to people. Because often with a workplace death too, they're always told to, oh, don't say anything, you know. No, you can't say this, you can't say that. So it's rather devastating in more ways than one. I mean, a death is tragic in itself. But then when you find, you know, that it's unfortunately becomes political, it's just devastating, because it's your loved one. He's gone to work and hasn't come home.
There's been a lot of media focus this week on the on industrial deaths, particularly with the situation in Beaconsfield in Tasmania.
Oh, yes.
But industrial deaths generally, do they go largely unnoticed?
Yes, totally. Yes, there'll only be a very small piece in the paper that you might just happen by. And we as industrial death support and advocacy, we're in touch with WorkSafe and the unions, and they advise us of these situations. But otherwise, we very likely wouldn't have heard of them either. And they're hidden, basically hidden, in our situation that we see. No one wants to talk about it. They think, oh, well, the family's going to be okay. They're going to get a lot of money. They're fine. But that's not a fact at all. They don't get a lot of money at all. The families might get a little bit of support as a dependency claim, rightly so, for what their loved one has been taken from them and what they're due to receive. But any fines that might be handed down, which I must add again, that are very minimal, is just people believe that the family get that, and that's not the case. Any fines that go back into the government system.